Hello, my name is Tucker Johnson, and I am your host today as we experience NIMSY Live, where we talk about the latest and greatest in translation, localization, internationalization, culturalization, and all that fun stuff global companies need to delight their international customers. On this program, we like to invite guests to like to have fun and also have some value to add for our audience of globalization professionals. I'm always eager to provide a platform to those with a good story or a good data set. So let us know if there are any topics you'd like covered or guests we should reach out to for future episodes. If you haven't already done so, make sure that you are liking and subscribing and following and all of that stuff to NIMSY Insights. We're coming to you live today on Facebook, LinkedIn, X, and maybe Twitch, a bunch of platforms. We're coming to you live everywhere. Most of you guys like to join us over on LinkedIn. So if you have a LinkedIn account, go join us on LinkedIn. That's where the party's at. And you can participate in the chat. If you leave comments during the live stream, we'll pull those up on stream and address any questions or comments that you may have. Before we get started today, I wanted to give a quick shout out to the many events that are happening in the language services industry. We're an industry that loves getting together and meeting at different events. And if you, like many of us, are putting together your event calendar and your travel itinerary for this year, go on over to nimsy.com/events, and we maintain a calendar of a bunch of different events happening in our industry with more information about each of those. If you don't have a travel budget, that's okay, because there's a lot of good online events that you can take advantage of as well. So nimsy.com/events is where you want to go for that. So without further ado, we're going to get right into it today. Today, in a world saturated with content options, understanding the unique strengths of video can be a game changer. Kane Lam will unravel the intricacies of choosing video as a content medium and discuss its unique value proposition. Why does video stand out among various content options, and how does it impact your brand, business, or personal growth? He will also share his experience as a relative newcomer to the language services industry and provide tips to those, or perhaps just inspiration, to those that are thinking about starting a career in localization or making that jump over to the dark side and being in the localization industry. Kane Lam is a brand new to the localization industry, and he is here today on NIMSY Live to share his experiences with the rest of you. He's been in the hot seat for the last 4 or 5 months, and I'm very interested to hear about that journey. Kane, welcome to the show.
Tucker, thank you for having me, and thanks for that intro.
Yeah, of course. So you're new to the industry. I kind of want to start there, just have a conversation, because on this program, this is, what, the 107th episode of NIMSY Live. I talked to a lot of people that have been around the industry for a long time, and, you know, us old fogies, we just like to talk about the same things over and over again. It's not too often that I get to talk to someone that's kind of starting their career in the language services industry. Tell us a little bit about where'd you come from, what made you take the plunge into the language industry, and how's it been so far? How's it been treating you?
Thanks. I'm so grateful to be joining the language industry, because coming to a new country, it's been a bit of a ride. I first started moving from Toronto, Canada, to France about a year ago. And so I was looking to join a new industry. Previously, I was in legal tech. So, Tucker, I mean, legal tech,
That's a different ballgame, right?
It's something completely different than what you can expect to do in France, since you kind of have to speak French to have a lot of credibility. And I looked around. I looked at other industries. Languages is something that has always interested me. I speak a little bit of Cantonese with my parents, and studying French made me want to look at the localization industry here. It was about the time when ChatGPT was blowing up, and so especially for localization, it seemed to make a big difference there. And I got a chance to work with Florian, a local French tech startup.
Okay.
Something that I wanted to join. I wanted to completely immerse myself in the French tech world. And so what a way to combine my previous experience in legal tech, basically a language-based industry,
yeah,
with something that I could add value to.
Yeah.
Not French tech, not French legal tech, but hey, I'm a person who can, you can see, speak French, maybe speaks English, maybe speaks an Asian language. Hey, localization just seems to fit.
Yeah. I kind of had this ongoing joke that I would say, it's not really a joke, that a lot of us, especially as older folks that have been around for a little while, is not many of us really dreamed of being a localization professional when we were growing up, right? It's like no one really knew that this industry existed. And a lot of us, like myself, we just kind of fell into it. And it's a real interesting industry because it's an industry that attracts people with common interests. Common interests like multiculturalism, common interests like multilingualism, speaking different languages and stuff like that. Nowadays, you can go out and study to become a localization project manager. There's master's courses. I know I guest teach. I'm an adjunct down at the Middlebury Institute of International Studies. They have a great program down there. Right. So it's a different scene nowadays, but I always really encourage people come over and check it out in the localization industry. The water's fine. Come dip your toe in. Right. So welcome. And now you've landed at a company called Checksub. Tell us a little bit about Checksub.
Sure. Yeah. Checksub does a lot of things. If you have videos, you want to spread them into a lot of languages, you check out Checksub. It offers subtitling. It can transcribe your videos into text. Subtitles, yeah, in minutes, not weeks.
Yep.
We also add dubbing. So if you don't have a voice in them, you can add that too. And what's a big hit right now is lip syncing.
Okay.
So we have that too.
So let's talk a little bit about that. So we talked about subtitles, we talked about dubbing, and we talked about lip syncing. Give us a quick rundown on what's the difference? Subtitle, dubbing, voiceover versus dubbing versus lip syncing. What are we looking at here?
Yeah. You know, if you're watching a foreign language film and, you know, you want to like read what's going on in your language, then that's what would come up. You can read the captioning. And so that makes it really accessible for people who maybe have hard of hearing. There's that accessibility angle.
Yep.
There's also the language angle. What we're finding is that in some countries, people prefer dubbing more so than reading, just because it feels more natural. It doesn't have to rely on your ability to read, I don't know, like really fast.
Right.
You can just kind of understand it. And so that's the difference between like captioning, subtitling, and dubbing. And then lip syncing is relatively new, because when you used to watch a lot of movies that were dubbed, it kind of felt obvious. Yeah. Like it didn't really sound like that person's character.
You kind of get used to it after a while, but it's definitely noticeable.
Yeah.
Even the best dubbing, you could still tell was dubbing.
Right. Exactly. And now maybe you won't be able to tell the difference at all, because dubbing is just going to sound like it's going to be visually obscured. It's just going to look really natural.
Yeah. How's that changing? And because there's always been this service of lip syncing, but essentially in the past, what it has been is, okay, we're going to translate the script and we're going to have a voiceover, or a dubbing artist read the script. And if you wanted lip syncing, it was the kind of the best that we could do is to craft the script and to record the voiceover. And voiceover is not the right word, I know, but to record the audio in a way that kind of lined up with the lips, how they were already moving, right? Nowadays, we're getting into the age of AI, and I'm hearing about these applications where you can actually have the video changed to make it look like they're actually talking. Is that just a pipe dream that I'm reading about, or is that actually happening nowadays?
From what I can see, that's what's happening today. Yeah. I don't know why it wasn't the case before. Maybe it was just, it's just too difficult to change Tom Cruise's mouth to get him to re-record,
right,
and maybe like move his mouth in a Spanish speaking way as opposed to, right, to English. And now we can do that with AI. Yeah. So it looks like a very promising time to be in the localization industry because of that. And then beyond that, it looks like, I mean, if you got a character like yourself, Tucker, and it got dubbed into a foreign language, French, but with a really high squeaking voice, not your voice at all, I mean, that would be a little bit of a jarring experience. And so voice cloning, I don't know if that's the right term too. I'm stumbling along this new tech along with everybody else, I guess, that can use your voice in French. And so it would be like if you're speaking naturally in a tongue that, I don't know if you've studied French before or maybe even Chinese. So what a great time to be in this industry.
Yeah, I've been tempted to do that. I mean, I don't want to pay for it, and I'd have to pay for a custom engine, right, basically to be trained. But I think, like, personally, like, I'd be a pretty good candidate for that because I have hours and hours and hours of myself talking the audio, right, out there. So I think I probably could train an engine and hear myself speaking in Chinese or Cantonese or, you know, German, French, whatever it may be.
Well, maybe I can hook you up with that and see how you sound.
I want to hook myself up so that I can train Siri to talk like me. So when I'm talking to Siri or Alexa, then it'll just sound like me.
Yeah, well, train your friend Siri's, and then that way they can hear your voice on loop.
Right. So, I mean, you brought it up, AI, and that's kind of where this conversation has been going here. For AI, especially when in the terms of multimedia localization, what I've noticed is what it's doing is it's really enabling a lot more content to be localized. It's kind of doing what machine translation did for the translation services industry a long time ago and is continuing to do, which is, you know, when machine translation came on the scene, it was, you know, we get the people start freaking out and saying, oh, we're going to be replaced, you know, and there's not going to be a need for translators anymore. And sure, I mean, there's been translators that, you know, certain jobs that have been replaced by machine translation. I don't want to downplay that, but we're still around. And what's really happened is that rather than eliminating the need for human translators, machine translation has just enabled the industry, the world, to translate more content, because content that previously wasn't high value enough to pay for a human translator, well, shoot, we can run that through machine translation and have a machine translated version, right? Nowadays, it's kind of the same thing. And I've really seen this, like, over the last 5 years with the improvements in automated transcription and automated subtitling and stuff like that. So I don't know if I checked the box. It doesn't look like I did. I'm watching us live on this right now. But when we create a event like this on LinkedIn, there's a box that you can check and for automated subtitles. And it's great because as you mentioned earlier, there's an accessibility component to it as and to having subtitles as well. And, like, just being real, like, I wish I had the money that every piece of video that MZ puts out, we could have subtitles on it and pay for human subtitles, but most companies aren't in that position, right? But having the automated subtitles allows us to kind of have a little bit of an accessibility component to it.
I totally agree. We were speaking to this post-production house back in my hometown in Toronto.
Okay.
And yeah, they were debating on whether they should take on this product, this project from Ukraine or Russian, because they were getting quotes for like 20-30K.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's way out of their budget. We're doing a documentary here. And,
right.
There's a bunch of footage. There's like 40-50 hours of footage. We don't speak Ukrainian. We don't speak, you know, Russian. The principal doesn't. So, you know, like, how can we take on this job? Right? Like, there's no way. Like, and so in comes Checksub, and we can offer them a way for them to easily understand this ultimately foreign language. They had some budget left over for a Russian speaker who spoke Ukrainian as well.
Okay.
And so that created a job. I mean, like, that created something that every party was happy about there.
Yeah.
And now they're onwards to do more jobs like that too. We talked to other people, out in Brazil, where they say the same thing. There's soap operas, there's TV shows where they would pay, you know, $10-$20 per minute, and they charge 50.
Yeah.
So how can they realistically take on that job? And what happens is, I don't know exactly what happens. Maybe you can let me know. Those soap operas just don't get translated.
They don't.
Or
no.
Yeah. And so they don't get the level of attention that they might want to have.
Yeah.
Especially with world events, people might be curious what the culture is like, see things from both sides.
Well, I mean, it's globalization, and with it's becoming more and more common. I say they don't get translated. Historically, they haven't gotten translated, right? But it's, you know, with technology is lowering the barrier to entry for localizing your product, whether your product is a soap opera, whether your product is, you know, a YouTube channel with 500 subscribers, right? Like, there was a time when, if I have a YouTube channel with 1,000 subscribers, like, there's no way I'm going to pay to have that translated into, and I'm a big YouTube guy. I love YouTube, right? I spend way too much time on YouTube. It depresses me when I look at my screen time report from my iPhone. Yeah, exactly. Right. That's why I don't look at it. That's the hint. That's the trick. You just don't look at it. Right. But, you know, there was a time when I remember creators that did have their content localized into other languages, A, it would be via subtitles only, right? Rarely, and still rarely, do creators have multi-language channels in multiple languages. And B, those subtitles were usually crowdsourced. They were usually fan-generated. Like, people in their audience would just translate those for free as a community service effort. And nowadays, you've got services out there that, if I'm a, you know, small to medium-sized creator on YouTube or any other platform, I guess it doesn't really matter, and I want to add subtitles, I want to add dubbing, I want to add whatever it may be, it's much more accessible these days.
Yeah. I think even YouTube, you can upload your video onto YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's looking for a hack to get subtitles, they do it within like a minute.
Yeah, I know. They do it for free. I've done that before. I call that the poor man's transcription, right? Because I use a service called, if I really want a transcription, I use rev.com is one of the ones that I use, and it does a decent job. And you can have it human reviewed, so there's a quality control. But yeah, the poor man's transcription is you just upload your video to YouTube, and it'll write the English transcription for you on it.
Yeah. Rev's great. I think their price... their prices are one of the better ones too, and the human component kind of gives people both sides of the options. So yeah.
And pretty quick. Mm. So specifically, what kind of, where is Checksub operating with? Since that's your expertise here, like, or who are your clients? I should ask.
Who are our clients?
Yeah.
We have a big focus in the media industry. We also have a big focus in the enterprises. I mean, there's really like marketing, of course. Communications is an interesting one too. And learning and development, of course.
Yep.
And then there's maybe one or two more. But it's, if I had to divide the world in two, it would be yeah, like those are the two biggest producers of videos in our little world. With media producers, people on YouTube, usually the big conglomerates will get a little bit more value out of us since, you know, they can't really upload one YouTube video at a time to get those transcriptions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like with profitability, with getting more revenue on the table, they're measuring, they're starting to measure on posts per day. Hundreds of posts per day is now a new goal that can have.
Yeah.
Because yeah, you're right. Like, the barrier is pretty low for individual creators, mm-hmm. but hey, the upside is quite a lot too.
Yeah.
So companies like, we see companies like The Soul Publishing, like The Soul Publishing, who is that?
Yeah.
Well, whenever you watch YouTube videos, those 5-minute crafts.
Okay.
What kind of meal can you do in 5 minutes? That's impossible. Like, it takes me 30 minutes just to wash the dishes. Are you kidding? Get the dishes out? Like, you're going to do that in 5 minutes?
They it takes me 4.5 minutes to find the can opener.
Exactly.
And another 3 minutes to microwave the soup.
Why? We got a true chef there with you.
Exactly.
So they localize they have like a internal way to like localize and subtitle as well as dub. And then they have a bunch of different channels as well. So creators like that, we really want to, you know, get in front of them.
Yeah.
We're seeing that, especially if you're in a secondary language market, like France. Secondary as in, hey, maybe in the ad revenue space, they don't pay the most if you're making French content compared to English. And they want to internationalize and they want to go into English.
Yeah.
Well, hey, how can you do that in a profitable way? Is it getting a guy like uploading it to YouTube one by one so you can save that like transcription fee? Might not be the best scaling growth strategy there.
It's probably where most people start, though, right? Because most people don't realize that there's scalable solutions out there when they first start playing around with it. Very much the same with translation. Like, when most companies start thinking about translation, it's, you know, the logical step for somebody that doesn't know there's this industry called the localization industry, logical step is, I'm going to hire a translator. Or like, oh, Cheryl in bookkeeping speaks Spanish. I mean, Cheryl's not a very Spanish name. My example could be better. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they start doing it like that and quickly realize this isn't very scalable. And it's leading to some other challenges. And that's when they start looking around for the more scalable solution.
Well, you know, Cheryl could be a Spanish person who just really wants to... be like one of the locals.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe she really wants to learn.
Mastered her Duolingo. Well, I've seen that before too. It's like, hey, Cheryl in accounting took 3 years of high school Spanish. She can translate it for us. Right.
Yeah. And that, she can that makes the program too.
Yeah. That makes translators cringe when they hear stuff like that. Right. Well, but then there's the other side of the spectrum too, which is, well, we'll just machine translation everything. Machine translation exists. It's fine. So we don't need to pay for translation. We'll just run everything through Google Translate. Right. So there's the other side of the spectrum there too. And correct me if I'm wrong, but, the work that you guys do over at Checksub, it's mostly AI driven, right? It's mostly machines. Or do you have do you have any human interaction at all?
Not a single one. Even on our team, we have like
so. That's five what people. That's what you're focused on. Yeah,
we're heavily into the AI. I think the idea is basically, Tucker, you know, we're working with somebody who is in the media industry,
mm-hmm.
who's used to working with a bunch of freelancers.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, what am I going to do? Like, hire another freelancer to in your industry who speaks your lingo, and then charge you something on top of that. I mean, I guess we could do that. I think.
Well, there's the vendor costs. I mean, there's what you're paying the freelancer, but then there's also the very real cost of managing those freelancers, right?
That's true.
And anyone who's ever maintained a team, especially an outsourced freelance team, knows that it's time consuming. And you know, you have one freelancer, fine. You have two, okay, three. You know, you get five, six freelancers. Well, shoot. Now I'm looking into hiring a project manager just to manage, or a vendor manager just to manage the work, right? So how much money am I really saving going the freelancer route, right?
Yeah, I think that's a question that, you know, some clients will, that's the beauty of choice. I mean, some people like steak, other people like steak with caviar,
Yeah,
right?
right.
And you have like all the options out there. The clients we work with that work really well have a vision on what they want to do. You know, we can't execute that vision. We can't help you plan that vision out. But if you already have that vision, yeah, we can show you how to use Checksub. We can show you how you can plan it with your favorite freelancer or set of freelancers. You can jump on the tool here, and a lot of easy features there for freelancers, for linguists. Focus all the errors into one spot or where we think there are errors in the output language. That way you can dedicate your time just in those problem areas, as opposed to reviewing the entire 10-hour live stream. That's kind of the idea.
And what are you guys, because this is a big thing. There's really fascinating advancements happening in this area too, which is synthetic voices, right? The automated subtitling or the text to speech, not text to speech, speech to text has been, you know, like I said, it's amazing right now. Like most, like Google Meet, Zoom, whatever, Microsoft Teams, most systems even have it built in now where it does a really good job of just transcribing stuff that's happening. Kind of lagging behind that has always been the text to speech or the synthetic voices that are happening. And we talked about it earlier, how you can custom train a voice to sound like you or to sound like someone else specifically. But what is, does Checksub dipping into that well, yeah, or kind of waiting to see what's happening with the synthetic voices?
Synthetic voices mean a couple of things to me. You know,
Okay.
look with I guess like a new tech, it's like everybody has different things. And you know,
What
let
is it?
me
Yeah.
stumble through with you, Tucker. Synthetic voices mean for me, there's a set of voices that's in a library. They're AI generated voices. They're not like, you know, my voice in a different language. I would call that like voice cloning. Yeah, we totally have a library full of voices. In certain languages, we have more. English, we got different accents. English, Australian, I don't know, like south of America. So I don't know, like that's an accent. I'm sure each state might have their own accent too, but we have a variations there. But if you want like Swahili, well, you know, like we have male, female. So that's a choice. Might not be like as diverse as English. And then yeah, and then in voice cloning, we have a way where we can
Oh, so you actually do the voice cloning. Oh, very cool. Very cool.
absolutely. It's pretty sweet to you know, if you haven't seen it before, it's basically yeah, your voice in a different language. And you know, when I first saw it with HeyGen, ooh, that was incredible. Like we had to have it. So now it's out. It's something that I think is setting up the expectations for what you have to have now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The more this stuff gets adopted, the less it becomes a nice to have, and the more that it becomes a reality, or it becomes like a real, like if I don't do this, then I'm falling behind my competition, right? You know, just thinking back, you know, at one, just using translation as the comparison here is, you know, at one point it was, you know, translating content into another language was kind of a nice to have, right? And nowadays, it's kind of a requirement. If you have a website, guess what? You're a global brand, right? Like, maybe you're not shipping products all over the world, but people from all over the world are can find you. So it's not a question of like, am I is my content in front of global users? It's a question of what is my global user's perception of my content that's already out there. So translation nowadays is it's kind of more and more a requirement. And, you know, people are looking to differentiate. Video's big right now, especially from a marketing standpoint, right? It's podcasts. Podcasts have completely proliferated. You know, everybody has a freaking podcast these days. I remember, like 10 years ago, like my business partner Renato and my friend Michael Stevens, they started this podcast called Globally Speaking. And I mean, that was back in the day when it was super cool to have a pod, like they were the guys, right? They, and there's been other people that have been doing it out there. So I don't mean disrespect to them, but I just know these guys. And it's like, wow, they have a podcast. That's really cool. And nowadays, everybody has a podcast. Everybody has a podcast out there. You know, Nimsy Live, this is one podcast. Shoot. Nimsy has multiple podcasts. Like Multilingual has a podcast, our sister company, Multilingual Magazine. So there's just so much content out there. And so I'll give you an example. It's like something like from an accessibility standpoint. Multilingual is a print magazine. It's been around for 20 years. They have online news stories every day. They're publishing stuff about the language services industry. And recently, you know, the way people, you know, especially in the last 5 years, not everybody likes reading anymore. We're spoiled. This is the age of audiobooks and whatnot, right? So people don't necessarily read the news anymore. A lot of people like to listen to the news, right? So one thing Multilingual has done is for every single article that they have out there, they'll have the audio of it.
And that's really smart.
Yeah, it's great. And so, and they publish it as a podcast, so you can just subscribe to the podcast on it. But it's gotten very popular. It's kind of one of those things they just thought, okay, we'll just, you know, play around with this and, you know, see if people like it. Well, shoot, people really liked it. So, however, you know, to have a person, you know, recording that for every single article, it can get really, really costs. It can get expensive, right? So even they played around with, here, I'll just bring it up on screen here. Here's an article from Multilingual. A jar of extra virgil. Is that a typo? Did I bring up a Multilingual article with a typo? No. I think that's
is that one of those ways where you can get people to zone in and like, you know, break their train of thought and just really pay attention.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a play on words. I haven't read this. Looking for something good to read, try the inside of the... Yeah, but I don't know if they'd be able to hear this.
Is Localization Today,
So this
podcast from Multilingual Media, covering the most relevant daily news in the language.
Who's actually recording it, but I know we have used synthetic voices before. It was completely text-to-speech. Oh.
You just might find something interesting etched into the glass. In all seriousness, that's exactly what a team of archaeologists working in Cordoba,
I can see the bar moving, although
discovered a few years
ago. Oh, you can't hear. I don't have it turned on for you. A 1,800-year-old
fragment of an amphora that once contained olive oil, inscribed on the inside with a brief snippet of a Virgil poem written in Latin.
Yeah, but their findings, you know, hear that? That's a synthetic voice. I'll turn it down now. That's a synthetic voice, but it's pretty darn good. It's pretty darn good. Like, I wouldn't want to listen to that for 2 hours. My brain would get tired. But I'll listen to that for three minutes and 4 seconds.
Can you tell, though, that that's a synthetic voice? Like, when you listen to it? I know you know it. That's a synthetic voice. But
no, actually, I don't know it. I don't know what they do over at Multilingual. I just pay the bills. But I can hear it. I can hear that that's a synthetic voice. And I also know the employees, and it doesn't sound like any of them. But does someone who's not a language geek and a technology geek, would they be able to tell that that's a synthetic voice? Probably not.
No. Well, the numbers are showing that. I mean, it's working well. So
yeah,
there you go.
So, anyways, sorry, I kind of derailed our conversation here. We've gone all over the place. We talked about subtitles. We talked about dubbing, lip syncing, synthetic voices, AI, Kane. What else? What am I missing? What am I forgetting to ask you? Otherwise, we're going to start wrapping this up here.
you got to check out the Checksup website. We're offering a free trial.
Oh, let me pull it up. You got to plug it. Got to plug it. Checksup.
No credit card required. Just start that free trial and you can get right in there.
And who are we talking to? Who would be a good, who's going to go start a free trial?
Yeah. You know, like there's a ton of options out there. I mean, if you're doing one face to the camera, you're speaking, there's a ton of choices. Checksup is one of those great choices. If you're doing something a little bit more, I don't know, if you're telling a story where you need a lot of background music, there's cuts in and out to historical figures and blah, blah, blah. Well, Checksup has a way for you to get really deep into those voices. So you can edit each track. So maybe your background music isn't translated from, I don't know, Shakira to Shakira Chinese.
Okay. Yeah. That would be a plus.
And then you can, you know, if you want, I don't know, like if you want to keep Abe Lincoln, I don't know if we actually have footage of Abe Lincoln speaking, but let's say a beloved president.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, you can kind of keep his voices in English.
Yeah, I don't know if Abraham Lincoln did many live streams.
No, not even in black and white.
Yeah, probably not. I don't know, the bitrate was horrible back then. Yeah, so I just signed up. As you were chatting there, I just signed up. I'm in. Click to upload.
Okay, easy. Beautiful. Yeah.
It's as easy as that, people.
That's it. That's it. Yeah, and then otherwise, join Tucker with Nimsy Live.
Yeah.
Super easy to sign up as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. We make it easy. I was telling you before this, like my number one goal is make it easy for the guests to come on Nimsy Live. And, you know, let's talk. So if you guys out there have any suggestions on people you'd like to see on Nimsy Live, send them our way. So, Kane, it's been a pleasure to meet you and to get to talk to you today and geek out kind of about all of this different video related stuff. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
I feel the same way, Tucker. Thanks for having us on here and congratulations to all your successes.
Yeah, likewise. All right, I will take us out here. Ladies, gentlemen, chat, we are out of time today. If you enjoyed this Nimsy Live, join us next week. Is it next week? Yes, January 31st on Wednesday when we are talking to the folks over at ALEA. That's the European Language Industry Association. Great association. I've been to some of their events. I was keynote at one of their events. And they just do really bang up work. And they're hosting their ALEA Together event coming up here. So we're going to be talking about that, what you can kind of expect from that. Join us next week. Sign up. You can go to our LinkedIn page, Nimsy LinkedIn page, go to the events tab, and register so that you'll get automatically notified. I appreciate our guest today, Kane. I appreciate my colleagues here at Nimsy Insights doing all the hard work so I can have these conversations. And I appreciate everyone in our industry who's filling out surveys, scheduling briefings, and all of that stuff so that we can include you in our published industry research. And finally, I appreciate you, the audience, who are joining us live today. All of the questions, comments, and especially criticisms in chat, which I never once brought up, and I apologize for that. But if you're watching the recording, you can still leave comments and start a conversation that way. Go follow Kane Lamb. Go follow Checksub on LinkedIn. And, of course, follow Nimsy Insights. And I look forward to next time. Cheers.